selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, this God will give.
What a boomer.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see your shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, pun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. It's Thursday night. I think it is January the 20th. I think tomorrow is the day. What? 19th. Okay, it's the 19th today. And now I'm going to screw up here. I don't know if it's the 21st or the 20th that Donald Trump is going to be the new president of the United States. But it seems that the, just before I get into that, it seems that the Toronto police are hurt. Their feelings are hurt. The biggest city in Canada. And I saw a headline on the front page when I went to get my coffee this morning. This is NIP, but this is an editorial. It said, Pride Toronto should welcome police participation. Pride Toronto should make clear that police are welcome to continue being part of its annual parade. Now, what are the police doing in a gay pride parade? Apparently, the police had floats in the parades, you know. I've seen pictures here. Well, let me go find one. Yes, let's do that. Let's go find a picture of our boys in blue. It's really sickening, actually. What these people will do to be a cop. So this is one. This is one from right near. These are. These are my cops. My and let's see, the women in the picture are wearing black. One's wearing black high heels, and one's wearing black cop boots. But the cops are all wearing red high heels. Now, the big guy in the white shirt is is Detachment Inspector Scott Smith. Now, Scott Smith in his red high heels, who used to follow me around the municipal hall with his gun, after I went to the police board hearing, Inspector Scott Smith just kind of disappeared because I brought up the fact that Inspector Smith had sent a gaggle of police to my house under false pretenses in order to try to get me banned from going to or speaking to the municipal council meetings. And he also, this fat fart, also phoned me at home to tell me that my problem was I was diametrically opposed to what 99% of the community thought, as if this dickhead knew what anybody thinks. I mean, he's wearing red high heels. And the other white shirt, the little short fat woman, was Staff Sergeant Dana Early, who also was vacated out of here at the same time as Smith was. So we were without a chief here for well over a year, maybe closer to 2 years, waiting for things to settle down. And then Early just happens to show up back here as the new chief inspector. And the story goes on. If I could do a whole show on these clowns. I got a letter from the mayor delivered to me from the CAO, who was the dick that called the cops, Smith, who sent the cops to try to have me banned from the municipal hall. And now that Early's back as the chief, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone at the town hall unless it goes through the CAO first and he clears it. This is how rife the corruption. Boss Hogg would be impressed with this little town and the way it runs. But anyways, I'm going to stick this in the chat because I hope you get a giggle out of it. Because these are the boys in blue. These are the boys that pull you over and give you tickets. These are the boys that beat the shit out of people. These are the boys that break the law constantly, but they wear red high heels in support of different things. And I don't even know what these guys self-identify anymore. You know, I'm a girly OPP, I guess. The girls want to be men and the men apparently want to be girls. It's freaking retarded. But such is the world we're living in right now. And, but anyway, so back to what I was talking about, the police are hurt because they'd like to be in the Pride Parade because you see, they're trying to make amends. Apparently, Toronto's LGBTQ, QT community has not always had a warm and fuzzy relationship with the police, to say the least. Well, neither have I. That's why it's so important that police have been participating for more than a decade now in Pride Toronto's annual parade with floats and frolickers. Police frolickers. Let's frolic, say the police. Not to mention keeping revelers safe. It's vital that the relationship continue and that Pride Toronto make clear police are welcome to continue being part of the parade. It is designed to be inclusive, and excluding such an important group would send the opposite message. There's a question mark over all of this following Pride Toronto's annual general meeting on Tuesday evening. Most members there voted to support a list of demands from Black Lives Matter Toronto, including one to ban police from the parade. That was part of BLM's demands when it briefly halted last year's parade as part of a protest. However, Gay Pride Toronto's newly elected board has yet to weigh in on the issue. And co-chair Aaron Glenn Williams says the group is still considering what to do. However long it takes them to decide, it would be a mistake for Pride Toronto to ban the police from participating in the parade. the bottom line for Pride Toronto has always been that its events should be inclusive, and that means police officers should be allowed to march alongside the LGBTQT community, which, by the way, includes police officers. In fact, when BLM first made its demands, no one had a sit-in at last summer's parade. One of the first people to respond was Chuck Krangle, a Toronto police constable who is gay. He wrote an open letter to Pride Toronto that concluded, "Exclusion does not promote inclusion." He was right, regardless of BLM's worthy goals of drawing attention to race on his part. It is way off course in demanding that Pride Toronto not allow police floats and officers to be part of the parade and frolicking. Police participation is important for the LGBTQT community, indeed for people of color who are part of it. As the Star argued after BLM Toronto made his demands known last summer, surely it is to the good that police, both as individuals and an institution, publicly endorse inclusion and tolerance and develop positive relationships with the communities they are meant to serve. Pride Toronto should keep this in mind as it grapples with the issue, and it should make sure that police remain welcome at the parade, both as protectors and full participants. Well, BLM is another one of these, dare I say it, Zionist, Jewish, UN, globalist, corporate pieces of nonsense that was set up to drive another wedge between people. But what this whole story sucks about, you see, inclusivity. Well, I guess I'm not part of the game because the police call me at home and tell me that I'm not inclusive. Okay, I'm not inclusive because I somehow think differently than 99% of the community. So therefore, they can run roughshod on me. If you look crooked at someone who's gay or transgendered or anything else, the cops come down on you like a ton of bricks. The human rights comes down on you like a ton of bricks. So this inclusivity is only if you agree with the cult. Excuse me. If you're not a cult member, then the police will turn on you. So it's kind of funny that this pride parade nonsense is allowed. The LGBTQT community is straight out of Zionist, Jewish, UN, corporate, globalist bullshit, as is the Black Lives Matter, as was Occupy, as was Idle No More, and so on and so forth. So it's just keep the chaos stirred up real good, and we'll see what happens here in the long shot. But to the police, because it says down here at the bottom that the Star argued, surely it is to the good that police, both as individuals and as an institution, public endorse inclusion and tolerance and develop positive relationships with the communities they are meant to serve. They might be meant to serve them, but that ain't, I mean, the language sucks. The communities they are meant to serve. Well, that's a whole different story than who they do serve and who they took their oath to serve. And they took the oath to serve the Queen Crown Corporation and the Queen, who is the head of state of the country, and the country signed on as a member state to the United Nations. So the police are meant to serve the Queen Crown Corporation and the United Nations and all of their bullshit. So they're just corporate thugs. That's all they are. That's all they've ever been. And the more I look at it, it looks like there were no real police back when. Most policing was done by the people in the neighborhoods and the towns. But that deal down at the coal mines, when Rockefeller brought the thugs in and some people got killed there, and then it was our future prime minister that went down there, who was a Rockefeller boy, to give Rockefeller, you know, maybe this ain't the best way to go about this. And it seems to me that's when the police really kicked off. Instead of having these thugs come in and beat the shit out of the strikers and the good men and women, why not dress them up in uniforms and put them through the legislature? Same thugs, same damn thugs. But now they're legislated thugs, and we'll call them police. And I do believe that's where that really kicked off, because when I look at the time frame from that particular strike to when they really started kicking up police forces around the country, it was right in that time frame. So what I see the police as is they just took them. The police have always been corporate. And, you know, the first corporate police in the first police in Britain were hired to protect the corporate shipments. I remember protecting the people. I had to do protecting goods, which were owned by the corporations. So these are not, if you're a cop, go look it up, okay, and get your head straight. You don't serve the people. You serve the corporation. You beat the people up. You steal from the people. You drag people into court when they didn't do any harm to anybody. So besides beating them up, you're stealing from them. So, you know, throw off your red high heels and get to being a man again and doing what's right. Protect your fellow men and women from the evil that's coming down on us here. Anyways, apparently Earth reaches the highest temperature record for the third straight year in 2016. Of course, that's a total load of bunk, complete and total load of bunk. But that's always been the way it's been. Just like this gay pride parade nonsense is nothing but nonsense. So, let me go see when Mr. Trump is going to be God, what, they change the news every couple of minutes here? I saw a story here. I saw a story here about what Canadians are thinking about Donald Trump, and it kills me. Oh, there's some more. They've changed this already. Pride Toronto expected to meet next month. In order to see if they're going to let the police floats back in. Let's see if there's anything new in this. Uh-oh, the premier of the province is pissed off now. It's been an emotional roller coaster the last 24 hours. I'm not going to lie, Botanu said. There's been a lot of thought processing for me, not only as an out gay woman, but as an out Toronto police officer. The man's included, among other things, committing space funding and support for Black queer youth, reinstating community stages in spaces like the South Asian stage, and most controversially, removing police floats and booths from Pride events. Kathleen Wynne, the first openly gay premier, expressed displeasure at Pride's decision. It's January. My hope would be that between January and spring that Pride and Black Lives Matter and the police would actually be able to sit down and come to a different resolution, Wynne said after his speech to the Economic Club in Toronto. She would not say whether the province will consider withholding any funding from Pride to force a change. Bottineau says she does not want to discount concerns made by Black Lives Matter, but believes the best way to enact change is to maintain a dialogue. I respect and hear the voices around the uniform being a trigger, but I think taking off that uniform is not going to be successful. We need to get beyond that, she said. Don't get me wrong, we have many blemishes in our history as a service with the community, and we're still making mistakes, but that's why our conversations need to continue in order for change to happen. Now, the word conversation is a trigger word, really, suggestion and conversation, to keep this kind of garbage going. Instead of just shutting it down, shut up, stop this nonsense, no more gay pride parades, piss off. If you want to go rent a hall, you know, if you want to go and go to a facility that is open to the LGBTQ or QT, then go rent the damn thing. If you got a gay friend who has a big farm, then have your party out there. But this idea of traipsing down the main street of Toronto with all these little kids in that around with this ridiculous parade of yours is not about being inclusive. It's about shoving something that's quite disgusting in everybody else's faces. And so they want to keep the conversation going. They don't want to shut down. I've seen how racism, and specifically anti-Black racism, works in certain organizations like Pride Toronto. Demands are agreed to, and then there's backtrack, and then we aren't actually met. Bartlett said, I wanted to make sure that didn't happen. Bartlett said the demands speak to inclusivity and ensure the community feels safe at Pride events. Or disgusted, or want to puke. Police are part of a larger system that is inherently racist and preys upon and acts violence upon marginalized and vulnerable communities, Bartlett said. To have them present at Pride is a show of force, and is something that makes many, many members of my community feel uncomfortable. And they wait to see what happens next, said it won't necessarily change police duties and security around Pride. When people sign up to be a police officer, they don't take that lightly, she said. It's part of who we are, and that's not going to change the work we do with community or the outreach that we do. Well, the police are kind of in a weird position here, because the police are men and women. They have families. They have mortgages. Their kids are being screwed over in the schools. With mental abuse. And we need the police. We're going to need the police, and we're going to need the military at some point down the road here if things don't change. If they keep shoving this new world crap at us, who, at what point are the police going to figure out that by protecting this nonsense they're protecting, they're actually harming themselves? Maybe they're not that bright. I don't know. One would hope they would brighten up, but we do need to talk to the cops. We do need to talk to the military people. We do need to explain to the military that every freaking war they've ever been in was not for their benefit, or for the benefit of the men and women of their countries. In fact, it was the exact opposite. That's why I put on my thing there, the world's upside down, because it is. And anyways, Black Lives Matter. I mean, downtown Toronto is turning into the most farcical, Toronto in general is turning into the most farcical thing in this country. It is so broken up. I read somewhere like 120 some languages spoken in Toronto. That's got to be craziness. Absolutely craziness. Okay, so our prime minister, and it's not our prime minister, it is the Queen's prime minister, making him the CEO of the corporation known as Canada, apparently. He was, oh, now that story's disappeared. Holy crap. Where the hell did that go? There's, I guess they get rid of some of these stories and aren't going over so good. Okay, here's a story. Here's his answer. Oh, and it's a stupid video. Let's see what we got here. Anyways, Trudeau was apparently in Quebec at a town hall meeting or some damn thing. And he didn't, he wouldn't, I guess there was people asking him questions in English, and he answered it in French. Now, it's supposed to be a, it's supposed to be a bilingual country. And in order to, I think you have to be bilingual to be a member of the federal government now, or the leader of a party. And but this clown, Trudeau's French answers to English questions draws language complaints. Prime Minister Tinkerbell Trudeau says on reflection he should have answered questions partly in French and partly in English at a town hall meeting in Sherbrooke Tuesday. The Office of the Commissioner of Official Languages has received 14 complaints related to Tinkerbell's choice of English or French when answering questions at recent town hall meetings. Spokesman Nelson Carlisle said Thursday 11 complaints stem from an event on Tuesday in Sherbrooke, Quebec, where Trudeau angered some Anglophones by insisting on answering English questions in French. The others are related to a previous town hall gathering in Peterborough where Trudeau responded in English to a French question. On Wednesday, he said that on reflection, he maybe should have answered partly in English and partly in French at the Sherbrooke event. The office says it would take 3 to 6 months for to investigate the complaints. Because the office cannot investigate individuals, the probe will focus on whether the Privy Council office violated Official Language Act in its role of supporting the Prime Minister. Controversy erupted when Trudeau answered English questions in French on Tuesday night, including one about how English speakers could get help to gain access to mental health services. Thank you for using our country's two official languages, but since we're in Quebec, I'll respond in French, Trudeau replied. His unilingual performance drew an angry response from groups that represent Quebec Anglophones, and with some calling on the Prime Minister to apologize for showing what they called disrespect toward English speakers in the audience. At first, Trudeau defended his stance when grilled about it at a news conference Wednesday, as he mentioned the Peterborough example, but Trudeau changed his tune a few minutes later when a reporter revisited the topic, asked whether the English-speaking people in the audience Tuesday night did not deserve to understand him. He replied, "I understand how important it is in these public meetings to be able to answer questions without about people's concerns. So yes, I maybe could have answered partly in English and partly in French, and on reflection, I would be a good thing to do," he said. Quebec Premier Guillard was asked about the brouhaha Thursday as he attended the Davos Economic Summit in Switzerland. All UN globalist corporate meetings that are so-called elected officials continue to go to as they tear down our countries from the inside. Anyways, he says it is true. We speak French in Quebec. It's our common language, Goulier said. When English-speaking Quebecers address me, I answer them in their language. I will continue to do that. When asked whether Trudeau should adopt such an approach, Goulier said he was talking only about his own conduct. In Montreal, Parti Québec, while leader Jean Lisi was also asked in English about Trudeau's language, if you allow me, I'll answer in English, Lisi jokingly replied. He said Trudeau is simply out of his depth in matters of language and identity. Unless you're a Muslim, then it's a whole different ballgame. Then you're welcome in the country, and I'm sure they will have interpreters for you because you won't be speaking English or French. In Quebec, we have French as the official and common language. We also know something called courtesy, and there's nothing wrong with speaking English to our important Anglo community. What we saw there is Mr. Trudeau having no grasp of reality and of policy on matters of language and identity, but Trudeau changes to him a few minutes later. So the guy's a dick, an absolute idiot, who is perfect for the UN globalist corporate boys, because, you know, you want to get it done, you hire an idiot. Useful idiots. We're surrounded by useful idiots. Only useful idiots keep ending up in these positions that cause harm to everyone else. And that has got to stop. If you're going to be a useful idiot, then, well, go get some help. But well, here we go. This is world news. Now, I don't know who these 13 are. This guy doesn't look real bright. What 13 Trump supporters say they like least about their next president. Now, I can see why they picked this picture. Because this is the whole thing. They want the right to look as dumb as they possibly can. So they picked this guy out of a crowd somewhere. To paste in the Canadian paper what a Donald Trump supporter looks like. He's not a professor of law. He's not one who's into sustainable development, likely. He probably doesn't march in the gay pride parade, I doubt. This is apparently what the Toronto Star would like to pass off. And I'm not saying this guy's an idiot. Probably a really nice, hardworking guy. But I'm sure that he is not up to snuff. He doesn't look like a dedicated researcher or anything. So this is the kind of picture they throw up. I had a friend of mine who used to do a lot of really good work, used to put on a lot of events and stuff. And, you know, about as mild a guy as you're ever going to meet, totally nonviolent. And the local papers would shoot Doug at a real low angle to make him look like a violent man or something. And this is just another case of but this is from Washington. So they adore Donald Trump. The story's from Washington. They adore Donald Trump enough that they came to Washington to celebrate his inauguration, but there's one thing that bothers a whole lot of them: his tweeting. They apparently don't like his tweeting. We asked 13 people what they liked most about him, what they liked the least, or would change. So Alan is a 30-year-old auto worker from Michigan. Like most, he likes Trump's sincerity and his honesty. Like least, his locker room talk. Tyrus Cobb, 33, is a truck driver from Indianapolis. Like most, I believe he is a man of his word. The only thing I would change is if he would stay off his social media. Ashley Cobb, 32, which by the look of it is Tyrus's wife, he's a man of faith. Like least, his Twitter. Joe is a 49-year-old banker in Anchorage, Alaska. He likes the fact he doesn't mince words, a little politically incorrect, but he gets the point across. Like least, I wish he would calm down on the tweets. Dennis is a 58-year-old painter from Champaign, Illinois. Like most, his honesty, he doesn't put up with any of the bull crap. And apparently, there is nothing he doesn't like about Donald yet. Michelle Arnett, late 40, teaching assistant in Tennessee. I like his straightforwardness. I like he says it as he feels it. I wish he would stop and think about what he's going to say next instead of just saying it. Rhonda Pierce, 48, homemaker, Raleigh, North Carolina. Like most, I like his straightforward. And another thing about his straightforwardness, even when he has made mistakes, he and had to go back and retract himself. He's been like, I was not properly prepared for that question, and I've had to recant on that. Scott is a 55-year-old construction worker from Arizona. His can-do, gonna make it happen, doesn't back down attitude is what he likes the most about Donald. At least he could probably tone down on his Twitter, maybe wait 5 minutes before he tweets. Sandra, 54, homemaker from Arizona. She says he can't be bought. Like least, he has to think twice about what he's putting on Twitter. David Dexter, 53, is an attorney from Los Angeles, California, so you can pretty much bet that Dennis, well, we'll see. Like most, his willingness to avoid political correctness and state the issues the way they should be stated. Legalize, he comments about women, I found very offensive, and they really bothered me during the campaign. Patty Richardson, 55, who owns a firearms business in North Carolina, likes the least. He doesn't come from a political background. Like most, the things I don't like also have their good points. He drives me nuts with his tweeting. Van Nelson, 62, financial advisor from Bayville, North, New Jersey. He's got some new idea, and he's not going to take BS from anybody. I think he's too abrupt sometimes. I don't think he thinks through enough sometimes. And Rick, 53, hospital worker, Charlotte, North Carolina. He stands for change. Sometimes he needs to tone himself down a bit. Now, I think what I like least about what I just read there is that sometimes Mr. Trump is too forward. He doesn't need to tone himself down a bit. Sometimes he's a little gruff. Well, I think those are positive attributes myself, in this day and age of everyone being concerned about what someone else is going to think about what they say. Most of these political officials have writers for them who they just regurgitate, or they just read what was written. They didn't write it. It ain't their thought process at all. So if Donald's out there shooting off the cuff, then it ain't written down and it wasn't written for him, so he's his own man. So that I give him credit for. When you got to be reading off teleprompters and you say you're the leader, and people actually believe you're a leader, well, then you got to read off a teleprompter and read a speech that somebody else wrote. That sounds like a useful idiot, not a leader. So hopefully, Donald, I just really don't like his connection to Israel too much, because this is the good cop, bad cop crap. this nobody seems to be able to get, well, very few people seem to get through their thick skulls, that Israel and those who created the UN are brothers. They are the brotherhood. And, you know, I see people all the time, I'll post something, they say, well, you're right about the United Nations, but you can't say anything bad about Israel. Why not? Why not? I mean, Israel is part of the game. You know, which takes me back to what I always say when people get upset. I said, look, learn to say what you mean and mean what you say. And if people don't like it, well, hell, they can walk away. Enough of this nonsense. You look crooked at me. You call me a girl when I want to be called a man, but you are a girl. That's not the point that I'm a girl. I want you to call me a man or vice versa. But you're not a girl. Well, I identify, and I'm supposed to know this. Well, I told you, and now I want you to call me either a man or a girl, whatever the hell's going on that day. And if you don't do it, I'm going to complain. Those people really need a shot in the head, and I'm not advocating violence, but I mean they're obviously mentally ill. Obviously, but this is just more of that UN Jewish nonsense to destroy the moral fabric of a country in order that they can take control of it, which is what they're doing. Now, Sunday afternoon at noon, this coming Sunday, I'm going to have two gentlemen on my show, Nick and Paul, who are involved in the direct democracy movement. And I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I think these gentlemen, I'm going to give them that much leeway. I think that they're trying to do the best they can, but I don't know how much research they did on this. You know, it kind of reminds me of the 1970s when I went to that Earth Day in Calgary, and I was a young guy in my 20s, and all this hoo-ha about the Saudis holding us hostage and all the gas lineups, and that we had to become independent as far as energy is concerned, and they puked off all this stuff about windmills and biodigesters and solar panels, and this is actually pre global warming days, and they were trying to shove this down, that the reason we needed all this stuff was specifically to become self-sufficient so the Saudis couldn't hold us hostage. Now, that kind of failed badly on them, and people thought that was the end of that, but it's not. Never is, not with these guys. So they keep working in the background, they keep working in the universities and so on and so forth, and with the politicians. And then somewhat, I don't know, 30 years later, all of a sudden, wind and solar and electric cars, biodigesters were all the rage again. Long forgotten. Most people forgot long ago or didn't even realize what was going on in the 70s and was being pushed in the 70s. But in the 70s, we needed to become energy self-sufficient. That was why we needed wind and solar and biodigesters and electric cars. Now, from about 2000 on, what we need, the wind and the solar and the biodigesters and the electric cars for is no longer about self-sufficiency. It is about, well, saving the planet. Same template, same garbage, same players. Rebranded. That we need these things not for self-sufficiency now, but for self-preservation, because if we fail to do this, well, the world's going to heat up 2 degrees Celsius over the next 100 years. And trust us, we're scientists. We're not even scientists. We're climatologists. And so you have to do is what we say, or this isn't about self-preservation this time. Now, I don't know how old these guys are. I don't think they're that old. But we're going to bring up on the show. I did a little bit of quick read. I researched this direct democracy some time ago. And it is about global government. It is not about your community or your nation. It is about the takeover of your nation and direct democracy. Which is what they gave to Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya. They gave them some democracy. They spread in democracy. Well, we see what they're spreading. Doesn't look like a very good deal to me. But same thing. You know, it was back in around 90 or a little bit before 1990 when this first shot at direct democracy took place. And they pounded away at that for a while. And it kind of like the thing that went on in the 70s with energy, it kind of faded. People forget about it. And but it's back. It's back. And it's been rebranded a little bit, but it's basically the same thing. It's about handing over all the power to the globalists, and then we get to push on the internet button how we want to vote on something, which isn't going to work out well for us. So I'm going to have these guys on Sunday, and hopefully I can help them understand what they're tangled up in here, and that they've been hoodwinked, and if they are players, well then they're useful idiots. So we'll have those guys on Sunday. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, people know that their political system sucks, and what they've done is they've made it really bad so that everybody's met bad at anything political. Just show that your politics doesn't work, and therefore we need something new. Well, it's not really new. They cooked this crap up a long time ago. And they just brought it back recently. And, you know, it's a legal structure, you know, and it's attached to the, even though direct democracy of today is bad-mouthing the United Nations, this is a United Nations program. Just like Black Lives Matter and all the rest of the things they bring forward. So, you know, we texted me and one of the guys is coming on the show for what seemed like ever, you know, and he says, you know, the citizens need direct democracy. Well, the citizens, I guess maybe the citizens need direct democracy, but men and women certainly don't, because a citizen is a subject and your government or your country is a corporation. Therefore, your direct democracy that you're talking about being citizens of a direct democracy, you're saying that you want to be a subject of a corporation, which means that you follow the rules and regulations of the corporation. So how is it you're going to have direct democracy in that sense? They're the ones that are going to set the guidelines because they're the corporate heads. Oh, yeah, they'll let you you know, click on your internet button to vote on something that's really not important at all. And then they'll go and they'll play with the data, as they always do. And if they don't have the right data, well, then they'll just make up the data and they'll say, well, you voted for less beef because the world knows that to make a hamburger takes a gazillion liters of water, and the good people of the planet have voted hamburgers down and voted eating crickets up. And this is your direct democracy, and it's damn dangerous. And so we're going to try and shed a little bit of light on that on Sunday. In the meantime, Donald Trump is going to be inaugurated. I should know this, but I don't. Should be inaugurated when? Either tomorrow or the next day. I don't know which day he's even being done. Here's a quick one here. How Canadians plan to watch Trump's inauguration. Now, why would we watch Trump's inauguration? I sure as hell won't be. I have no interest in it. Many Canadians are set to watch Donald Trump's inauguration on Friday, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow, I have to, first thing in the morning, change out the main valve on the water in the building we're working on, because the main feed tap has begun to leak, and that's what we'll be doing tomorrow morning. The lovely little corporate town is going to come and shut off the main, and then we're going to cut some pipes, and we're going to put a new shut off in there. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow morning. And then after we get that done, I'll be putting in a double door steel exterior door into the building. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow. I won't be watching Trump. I got better things to do. Many Canadians plan to watch Donald Trump's inauguration as the next U.S. president Friday on television screens through online feeds or with friends at local pub. But some say they will deliberately ignore the spectacle. For Glenn Pye, a Toronto business owner, it's a historic event made even more appealing by Trump's persona. You're getting a guy who is pretty colorful and says a lot of crazy things, he said. It certainly upsets the status quo. Pye, 64, plans to gather with colleagues at the longest yard and eatery in the city's West End that will be broadcasting the inauguration. Well, he doesn't call himself a Trump supporter. He's intrigued by the president-elect. You can't have someone like that forever, but once every 100 years or so makes it good to have someone come in like that. He said, even though I'm not necessarily aligned with all the views he has, I'm glad he's coming in. Over the course of the campaign that eventually resulted in his victory, Trump has was accused of sexual assaults that he denied, railed against Muslims and immigrants, promised to build a wall along the Mexico-U.S. border, and has threatened to scrap NAFTA, among other things. Protesters, of course, have vowed to jeer him on the Inauguration Day parade route, and a larger women's march is planned for Saturday. Daniel Erickson, a spokesman for the group Canadians for Donald Trump, said he will be monitoring multiple live streams of the inauguration. The 38-year-old from Calgary is currently in Dubai for business, but said his travels won't stop him from taking in the event. It's a transitional moment. It's something that does echo through history, especially when it's a precedent-setting thing, he said. To see somebody who is a business magnet taking the reins of the most powerful economy in the world should be interesting to watch. While Canadians have a liberal government, Eric said it will be a positive thing to have a conservative leader in the U.S. I really feel there needs to be a more common sense voice, and obviously a more conservative and business-oriented voice south of the border that can act as a counterbalance to that ideology. Some Canadians, however, see Trump's inauguration as a chance to mount a personal protest against a politician they strongly agree with. Linda Bond, 60, says, I can't stomach it of Friday's ceremonies. I'm going to watch Netflix. I'm going to be on Twitter, but I'm just sickened. I just cannot watch it. How stunned, eh? Bond, who is a dual American-Canadian citizen, should she follow the election campaign south of the border for 18 months, is still stunned by Trump's victory. She hopes not tuning in to the inauguration will have an impact on the event's ratings. Whoa. I didn't know it was a ratings war. Joseph Fusca shares that sentiment. The 54-year-old Ontario business owner said he's been trying to convince his colleagues to join him in boycotting live coverage of Trump's inauguration. We shouldn't give this man any adulation by watching his inauguration, Fusca said. I am taking my own personal action. I just want to see if I can influence people and not giving this man anything. Fusca said he knows a number of people who plan to tune in to the inauguration out of morbid curiosity, but he's been urging them to skip the live event and catch the highlights later if they must. This is a very narcissistic guy that loves to brag about his poll numbers and ratings, so why would you give him that if you're not supporting it? Well, I've talked to different people here in my little town where the police chiefs and that wear the little red high-heeled shoes. It's really quite fascinating, because I've heard many people in this little town are totally freaked out that Donald Trump won the election. They're absolutely convinced that Donald Trump is going to start World War III. But see, they don't understand nothing, because World War III started the day, or probably before World War II even ended. And that, of course, is a spiritual psychological war. And most of these people that I run into anymore seem to be both spiritually and psychologically damaged. So you get these people freaking out about Trump, you know, and I say, well, I don't know. Did you ever meet the man? I always say this to people about whatever, you know. I hate that guy on that show. It's a show, stupid. It's a character. You know, it's fictional, like your life is fictional. You have no control over your life. And the man or woman playing the part has no control over the part. They just read the part and get paid to play the fictional part. You, on the other hand, get robbed playing your fictional part. So get with the program. But no, the hate for Donald Trump I found absolutely fascinating. But then when you look at what the schools and the universities have done to people's minds, I can see their fears. You know, they've been pounded to love only the left, to love Mother Earth, to don't eat that hamburger because the cow or the steer drank, you know, a trillion gallons of water in order to make that burger, with no ability to understand that what went in the steer comes out of the steer, goes in the ground, gets cleansed, and turns into water again. So in reality, how many gallons of water did it take to create that hamburger? Probably none, because it's all recycled. The only water that the steer maintained is the chemical makeup of its body, whatever percentage of water its body is. Other than that, the water goes in, the water goes out. But they fear these people all day, every day, every way they can, and then the people
freak out.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, vexing live, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass on cocaine, they burn the kids, no more makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight.
Forgive.
Rob the Escape